Please do turn with me in your Bibles to the passage we read from earlier on in Mark chapter 4. And you'll see from the reverse of your announcement sheets that we are looking at great from little. I should have mentioned earlier on that we have had a death in the congregation. And it is with regret that we announce the death of Mr. George Young, who passed away on Friday morning. His funeral service will be held here tomorrow at 2 p.m. And we extend our sympathy to his relatives and friends and commit them to the care and keeping of Almighty God. Please do look at this passage with me this morning. I read somewhere that if you took all of the people who attended church each Sunday and you led them on ground from end to end, they'd probably be an awful lot more comfortable than they are sitting in their pews. And I think that's part of the problem, isn't it? Whenever we come to church, we want to be comfortable. How many times have you gone to another church and you've said to yourself, well, boys, those pews aren't particularly comfortable. I think the pews in the old First Ahokel Church kind of fitted the bill more than most. And sadly to people, the church is either a place that you come to fall asleep and endure what happens at the front, or else it is a place that simply appears irrelevant in our fast-paced life today. And it rarely seems to be that the church today is as involved in the growth industry that the Lord had envisaged for it here in this particular passage. Perhaps there is a reluctance within us to change so that we become the sort of vibrant Christians that the Lord wants us to be. And yet, change is necessary at times for the survival. I'm not talking about changing the message. The message must remain the same, and the message must remain absolutely central to what we do as a church. But sometimes we need to look at the way that we do things and see that as a church, we must remain at the cusp, that we must always be progressing. I wonder if you'd been amongst the crowds who were listening to Jesus on the shore on that particular day, would you have felt a little bit discouraged after the parable of the four soils? If you look at the beginning of that passage in Mark chapter 4, you'll find there that he talks about these four different types of soil. Three of them are utterly unprofitable, and there is only the one of the soils that actually brings about any sort of positive outcome. Perhaps if you'd been there listening to Jesus, you would have been disappointed at what Jesus had said. This suggestion that somehow the message would go forward and only one in four would respond. And yet this is the message that we find. We're told that broad is the road that leads to destruction and many there are on it, but narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. It is the sad truth. But yet in this passage this morning, we find message of the fact that this church, this kingdom of God that Jesus is establishing, is growing. Perhaps with the thoughts of the previous parable, the disciples were beginning to wonder just how big of an impact they could possibly make on the world with such a small band of believers. The disciples, like so many others, were looking for the Messiah to come and to establish an earthly kingdom that would be greater even than that of Solomon or that of David. And for Jesus to now come, this Messiah to come and talk about a kingdom where three out of four of the types of soil fail. Perhaps we too wonder at times just how big of an impact the church is making today. In this parable of the mustard seed, Jesus assures his hearers that small beginnings are not to be despised. And so there's the two things that I want us to look at this morning. First of all, small beginnings. Verse 31 says, it is like a grain of mustard seed. The mustard seed, though small in size, was capable of producing a tree-like plant that sometimes grew to be 12 or 14 feet tall, as I said to the children earlier on. And Jesus, being the master teacher, he was calling attention to this very small seed in order to speak of the vastness of the kingdom of God. Now, part of our problem when we come to a passage like this today is we look at the seeds that there are in the world and we say, well, actually, the mustard seed isn't the smallest of all seeds. But this was a saying of those days. When they would have talked about things that were small, they would have said it is as small as a mustard seed. That was the kind of saying they would have had. Maybe today we might say, well, it's as small as a flea. Well, we know that there are other creatures that are smaller than fleas, don't we? I mean, we could talk about single-cell organisms. And they're smaller than fleas. You know, we could talk about microbes that we look at through a microscope, and they're smaller than fleas. But we talk about something being smaller than a flea. It's because it's something we can see and something that we can identify with that is incredibly small. And here Jesus is referring to something that is small. Proverbially, it is the smallest of all seeds. And that's why Jesus talks about this grain of a mustard seed. And he wasn't so much calling attention to the seed itself, but to the truth that although the kingdom of God may have small beginnings, it will ultimately produce large, immense results. But a mustard seed is a particular type of seed, isn't it? You know, we think of mustard today. Whether it's the mustard you get on your burger whenever you walk into a particular fast food place in Ballymena. Whether it's the mustard that you have in a lovely little jar at home and you produce it whenever you have somebody special coming to visit. Or whether it's the mustard gas that we sometimes think about that causes people's eyes to become irritated and makes them incredibly uncomfortable. We understand that mustard is a particularly pungent seed. We understand that at times it can be deeply unpleasant, but that it brings with it an element of flavor. And surely there is no mistake that it is the mustard seed that Jesus refers to here. Because we as believers in this world must at times be an irritant. We should be fiery and biting, not backbiting, mind you, but biting. We should be those who stir the blood, that whenever we get into conversations with people, they go away thinking about what we have said. Thinking to themselves about maybe changes that they need to make in their lives as a result of what we have said to them. And certainly mustard was looked at in that way in those days. When Darius, the king of the Persians, invaded Europe, he went in with a massive army and he was coming up against Alexander the Great. So Darius sent Alexander the Great a bag that was filled with sesame seeds. Now the message that he was sending was this: you'd better run away, Alexander, because our army is massive. It's as many as the seeds, the sesame seeds in this bag. But Alexander, who wasn't someone who liked to back down, he sent back another bag, but this time it was a bag with mustard seeds in it. And the message was clear: you may be great in number, but we are tough and resilient, and you come up against us and you're going to be sorry. And indeed, Darius and the Persians were sorry because they were sent packing that day by Alexander the Great. And that's the character of mustard. And these people knew that and understood that as Jesus talked about the mustard seed. So our Lord is using a very apt symbol by which he indicates that the message of the kingdom of God is intended to be arousing and irritating and disturbing amongst men. But the problem is that as Christians, so often we spend our lives trying to be respectable, trying to be acceptable in the eyes of others. And I wonder if we lost something of that irritating nature, that powerful nature that we as Christians should have in the lives of others. People should go away from meeting us caused to think about their lives, caused to think about their views. Turn such mustard seeds loose as we Christians, and we should be getting a whole community excited and stirred up, either negatively or positively. And that's what we're to do as a church. I still remember one of my predecessors in Rathfrieland, and he came after a long, very steady ministry. And he came in as the new kid in the block. He was just straight out of college and very wet behind the ears. But boys, did he have an enthusiasm for the gospel. And he was a powerful preacher, and he came into that place and he turned it around, and all of us who came after him were so pleased that he was the one who broke the ground in the first place. But some people absolutely hated him for it. In fact, he got death threats as a result of how he preached in the pulpit. In fact, on a couple of occasions, he got anonymous letters that said that whenever he was away from the house, that they would come in and they would abduct his wife. And he told us the story of how he arrived home one day and the back door was lying open and his wife wasn't to be found in the house. And he was absolutely hysterical, running all over the place trying to find her. She'd just gone out for a walk, but he didn't know that. I'm sure the conversation was very interesting that day whenever he did find her. But you see, he went in there with the gospel, and boys, did it irritate people. Boys, did it anger people. But it was the message that he needed to bring. And today, don't we find it increasingly that as Christians, if we take our stand for the truth, if we stand against error, if we proclaim Jesus Christ today, more and more we are hated for it. More and more we're maligned for it. So what do? Do we back off into the corner? Do we stop taking our stand? Do we water down what we teach? Not at all. If we're getting up people's noses, that's exactly what mustard does. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation for those who are being saved. So we don't back down. We don't walk away. We still stand by the truth of God's word, no matter what may come. Small beginnings. As we think of Jesus Christ, his was a small beginning. Isaiah likens his beginning to that of a tender plant in Isaiah 53 verse 1. He came as a little baby in a manger, and yet here we find him mentioning this kingdom of God that would begin to attract men and women one at a time to become his subjects. And we look at those who are Christians in the world today, numbered in millions. And yet it started so small. Small beginnings. And secondly, significant becomings. Verse 32, we think again about this mustard seed. When it's planted, it's so small. And yet we read here, when it is sown, it grows up. The growth of the kingdom can be seen here in three tenses: past, present, and future. It has grown, it is growing, and one day will be full grown. Let's look at how it has grown. Though the early disciples could not see the structures of the kingdom, they would soon see with their eyes the growth that Jesus spoke about in this parable. 12 disciples were chosen. We read of that in Luke 6, verse 13. And then just prior to Pentecost, in Acts 1, verse 15, we read by that stage, there were 120 believers. And then on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, we read about 3,000 coming to faith in Jesus Christ on one day. And then we read in Acts 6 and Acts 9, we read about the multiplying growth in Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee and Samaria. In fact, it comes to be myriads, tens of thousands, as we read about in Acts 21. So in a very short space of time, we find this early church going from 12 disciples to tens of thousands of believers by the end of the book of Acts. Oh, the mustard seed started with small beginnings, but very quickly there were significant becomings. It was amazing what was happening. This was phenomenal growth. How it has grown. So how is it growing? Can anyone imagine the growth that is taking place today? Here, there, and all around the world, the kingdom of God continues to grow as believers sow the seeds of God's word. Despite efforts to destroy Christianity by the Muslims and the Hindus and the Sikhs and the atheists, yet Christ's church is still growing at a phenomenal rate. Maybe not so much here in Northern Ireland. But look at Korea and India and Pakistan and Malaysia and China. We see the church growing there exponentially today. And it's thrilling. Steve sent me a little text from Laos today and a little clip of him worshiping in a church, him and Steph worshiping in a church this morning. And they talked about the growth that this church has seen over a short period of time. How lovely it was to hear them singing Amazing Grace, but just singing in a different language to us. Isn't it encouraging to see how the church is growing? But let's apply it to our situation here in Ahokal. Let's think about how we would love to see the Church of Jesus Christ growing today. I came across this application in preparation. Imagine the growth that could take place in just 20 years. If 20 people who believe each in a year lead 20 other people to faith in Jesus Christ. So imagine if you were to use every opportunity that you had in the year that lies ahead to share your faith. And you had the privilege of leading one person to Jesus Christ. 20 people in 1 year becomes 40. Year 5. If each of those people goes out and shares Jesus Christ, the 20 becomes 640 believers. By year 10, it becomes 20,480 believers. By year 15, 655,000 believers. By year 20, 20 million believers. And it starts with 20 people who take their faith seriously and get out and share Jesus Christ. Now I understand this all sounds airy-fairy, and I also understand that such growth rests in the activity of the Lord. However, he expects us to be getting out there and sharing our faith and getting our hands dirty. He expects us to be looking for those he wants us to lead to the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, is this something that you look for? Do you go out of church on a Sunday and think to yourself, Lord, where's the opportunity going to arise? Who is going to walk across my pathway? Who am I going to sit beside on a bus or a train or a plane? Who, Lord, am I going to meet this week? that I'm to witness to about my faith. If you're not looking for this, my question is, why not? A mustard seed is mentioned elsewhere in Scripture, where we're told that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we will see the miraculous take place. So I ask you this morning, do you as a congregation believe that if you reach out with the wonderful truths of the Word of God, that God will save souls? Do you believe that? You're sleeping. It's the hope you're sleeping. Do you believe that? Well, then we need to get out there. We have a mission coming up next May. What an incredible responsibility is ours to be getting out. Within the next few weeks, we're going to be looking for those. You'll be prepared to go out and knock doors. And I know it probably terrifies you. And I'll be honest with you, it terrifies me. Even though I've done door-to-door visitation over many, many years, it still terrifies me. It takes us out of our comfort zone. Do we believe that when we go, that Jesus goes with us? That he takes us and he uses us? Well, then let's get active in taking the good news. And here's the last question as we look at this. How will it grow? The kingdom that resides within us as believers will one day be manifest for all to see and behold. In Revelation 15 verse 4 we read, all nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Here speaking of heaven. Here speaking of what it will be like whenever Jesus returns. And we won't just see those from our own nation standing righteous before the throne, but those from every tribe and every nation from across the world. People gathered from all ages of the history of mankind. And we will see them together in that kingdom as sons and daughters and brothers and sisters. Won't that be marvelous? Won't it be wonderful to be there and see all of these people who have been saved by the same blood of Jesus Christ as us? I can't wait. Thrills my heart to think of what heaven will be like. We read here that the growth of this kingdom will benefit many. Like the birds who found refuge in the mustard plant, so the kingdom would be a place of rest and peace and righteousness to those who enter in. But here's the question. Will everyone benefit from the kingdom of God? It would be nice to be able to say, yes. But that's not the truth. In John 3 verse 3, as Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, he says to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the entry into the kingdom. There is no other way into the kingdom. It's not by living a good life. It's not by attending church. It's not by paying into church. All of those are good things to do. But not one of them can save you from your sins. Not one of them can gain you admittance into the kingdom of heaven. It is only by being born again. And how does that happen? Well, the Bible says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you want to be saved today? Do you want to be in that kingdom today? I want you to be there. There are other believers here today and they want you to be there. And they're praying that you will be there. Well, today, if you want to be there, you need to call on the name of the Lord. You need to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins. God's kingdom is growing. I got to ask you today whose kingdom you belong to. And you could tell me You belong to the United Kingdom. So do I. That's nice. But the one I'm more interested in is if you belong to the kingdom of God. Because that's better still. Are you in that kingdom? Do you belong to Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? If not, and if you want to get right with Jesus and you're not sure what to do, you can pray in your seat now and just ask him to forgive you. You can come and talk to me after the service or to any of the elders or any of the believers here, and we'd be only too delighted to point you to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we thank you for this parable of the mustard seed, that even though it was the smallest of seeds placed into the ground, yet it grew so tall and large, and even the birds of the air were able to find refuge in its branches. And Lord, we thank you for the kingdom that Christ came to institute. We thank you that it is a kingdom that is greater than any on this earth, that it is a kingdom with everlasting dimensions. And Lord, for those who are not yet trusting in Jesus Christ, we ask that right now your Holy Spirit would strive with them. That, Lord, you would let them see that they are miserable without Christ. And that they need that eternal life. They need that peace that passes understanding. They need that joy that is so amazing and wonderful and complete. We pray this morning that even where they sit, that they would pray that prayer, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Lord, even for those who are confused, before they leave, may they set the record straight. May they even come and talk to some of us, Lord. We just ask that you would move here today for the glory of your holy name. Through Christ we pray. Amen.